Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
Hi, it's Thursday afternoon, and I just finished my writing up my lecture for Motzei Shabbos, so let me say a few words here, maybe philosophically, hashkafically, on the current situation. This is for Mishpacha Stefanski. The reason I say hashkafic and otherwise is, I got a lot of emails lately that people are saying, could you explain to me why we're right and they're wrong? Why the Jews are right and the Arabs are wrong, the Jews are right and the Palestinians are wrong, or something like that. Which is pretty shocking to me. I mean, I hear, I get it, you know. But, you know, this is people must see Lefitumah, they're not doing anything bad. And it says something to me very interestingly, and that is that one of the big problems we have nowadays is that people read, I'll call it this way, the hostile press, the hostile media, the enemy press, the enemy media. And that's pretty bad because you know the other side doesn't like you and will look for every argument they can to undermine you. But that, even though you kind of know, but you say, but I want to see what the other guy says. And that is good at the right time. It's bad at the wrong time. If you look back in Parshat Bereishis, the big mistake that Eve made was what? What was her big mistake? The answer is she got into a discussion with the snake. And then he misled her. He wrapped his finger, you know, wrapped around the finger, as they say. She wasn't smart enough to deal with that. Obviously, we know by the history of it. And she should have said like this, I'm not talking to you. But that's not what happened. The snake said, try this with the tree and that. And she made a counter-argument. He out-argued her. As we all know the story, different versions. And next thing you know, she's eating from the fruit, and so is Adam. And the snake won. And one of the morals of the story is, don't get into a discussion with the snake. Unless you have a PhD in snakedom, which nobody has. And so, what I'm saying is, if there's a war going on, and there certainly is a hot war going on now, even not now, but a hot war going on now, and even chutz with what's going on now, is a cold war going on all the time, your job is to know your narrative, not someone else's. And the problem is everybody goes on to, you know, I don't know what she is, CNN, this one, that one, even the Israeli press, and most people aren't able to discern when the press is full of baloney, because 90% of the time, at least, the people who write articles in the press are journalists. Journalists don't know anything. They're there. They observe what's shown to them, especially in the Middle East, where journalists can't see what's not shown to them. And if you mess with the wrong places in the Arab world, they'll kill you. And so the journalists see what's shown to them. They know that if they come out for Israel, there'll be a price to pay. But if they come out for the Arabs, the Israelis won't do anything to them. And they come in altogether prejudiced in the first place. And they're not exactly Middle Eastern experts. Not many people are. Take it from me. Or not. I should only tell you my opinion. Very few people know the full history of the Middle East, which you got to know in order to know what's going on now. I'm not, you know, criticizing everybody, but I'm just telling you the best way I understand it. And anything you read from on the other side is there to get into your mind, like the snake in the Garden of Eden. And I see from the emails I'm getting that it works, that well-meaning people, well-meaning Jews, from Jews, Shomer Shabbos, and all the rest of it, even yeshiva guys and whatever, are all, you know, sort of taken in by the siren song of the different media outlets. And ad kedei kach that, you know, I bet you some were wondering like this, and Taka, maybe Israel blew up the hospital, maybe, yeah, Taka, you know, maybe the Hamas had a tina. They went and shechted people. I said, shechita. Some people, they did malika. No, but maybe they have a tina, you see? You know, that way of talking is sick. It's not a sign of an open mind. There's a time for an open mind. But you have to understand in life, there's a time not for an open mind. when this country, the USA, was fighting in World War II, they didn't say, I guess, let's hear what Hitler's time is, you know. The opposite. They completely shut that down. After the war was over and Hitler was destroyed, now historians can write with some degree of dispassion or otherwise, you know, what was his time and what was his not his time. You know, now it's all over. But while it's on, nobody said, I guess, what's Taka Japan's time? Why did they bomb us? You know, what did we do to provoke it? Maybe it's our fault. That whole way of speaking didn't exist. And during the 4 years that we fought the Japs, it was like, we're right, they're wrong. And, you know, they're a bunch of so-and-sos. And that's how we won. Because if in the middle people are saying, you know, you never know, maybe they're right, and so on and so forth. That's the snake in the Garden of Eden, as far as I'm concerned. And nobody should be listening to that. Now, I can't control what people do, obviously. But since I'm asking my opinion, I'm trying to tell you, when you look at the Parshas, you're supposed to understand the Parshas. Right? Now, when I say understand the Parshas, you're supposed to know how it applies to what's going on now. That's one of the levels of understanding Parshas. Not the only level, obviously, but it's an important level. We don't believe that there's a coincidence, the fact that this is all happening right at the time of Simchas Torah and afterwards in Parshas Bereishis, Noach Lech Lecha, and all the rest of it. Obviously, there must be something out there, as I tried to say the other day with the Haftorah or whatever, that's in Parshas Bereishis, Noach Lech Lecha, and so forth. That's no Gaia. And to me, this business that I see before about what happened with Adam and Eve and the snake is kind of, you know, clear. To me, the enemy press, because that's what it is a snake. And I know that they are able to seduce and bite many Jews. That's the guys marching for Hamas and all the rest of it. Even though Hamas shechted people, beheaded them, and do all this other stuff, they still are marching and saying what they did was okay, or it's understandable, or it's a reaction to Israeli oppression. If Israel, let's think about this. This is amazing. These people are saying, it's terrible Israel bombed the hospital. I know they didn't. I'm just saying what they're saying. It's terrible Israel bombed the hospital. But it's not terrible that our people shechted Israelis. You know, in other words, you did an atrocity, it's bad. We did an atrocity, it's okay. You see how that works? This kind of double standard, which is all, you know, ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There are lies. Like I said, it's a ruch of a zona type vart, as I said before. And even more than that, what is the story of Amalek? Because these are true. If you want to know the name of the organizations that are supporting the attacks on Israel as we speak, you can just do Jews for Amalek. Jews for Amalek. Because Amalek wants to kill all the Jews, and these guys are in favor. They have no problem with it. You know? At the most, they'll say, we regret the loss of life. But really, they don't. And that's a lie. They're liars. They don't regret the loss of life. The only thing what they need to say, you know, to get minimal acceptance in the discourse. But really, they're totally fine with killing all the people in Israel. The men, the women, and the children. Now, it's pasha to me. So what's the svara? It's very interesting. They say Amalek, how's he described in the Chumash? It's not clear, but it says in one place, Vayilochem Yisrael Berfidim, something like that. But in the other place, it says Zohar Asher Solch Amalek, Asher Karcha Baderech Vayizanev B'chol Kol Nechshel Macharecha. Picked on the weak ones. And here comes the theme of Sukkot, because this happened right at the end of Sukkot, of Shmini Atzeres. Sukkot is about the Anonim. And they say that the Amalek was able to get the people who are outside the Anonim. And to me, that speaks volumes, because the Anonim, and I think I made this point when I gave the podcast on Sukkot, even though obviously none of us had an idea at that time that there's this attack coming. But the Anonim and the Sukkot Mamish symbolized all Jews being under the same cloud. But there were those who were not. And those who were not, the Nechshol HaMacharecho, they're the ones Amalek got. The plain way of reading is that Amalek killed them. But it also means, it can mean, that Amalek recruited them to Amalek. The ones who were not in the Anonim were taken by Amalek. How's it put it? By Zanev B'chol Kol Nechshol HaMacharecho. I tell you if you're gay. Don't say they killed him. It's a Vayizanev, which is an interesting language from Zonov, you know. It's like they pulled the tail in. That is to say, all the bad Jews, which are defined as not being in the Anonim, that's who ended up working with Amalek. And I'll bet you there's some Zohar or something, like, I don't know, that says when Yeshua came, Vayachlus Yeshua's Amalek, I don't know, But it wouldn't surprise me if he killed those Jews who betrayed him and joined the Amalek. Maybe I'm wrong, but you know, it seems to me something like that in light of the current events. It's not an insight I would have had otherwise, but it is one that strikes me today. Because again, we're supposed to study the story of Amalek. And we're supposed to study the story of Bereishis and Noach. What talk that happened by Noach? It's all about a teva, right? It's all about a teva. What shot a teva? There was a flood going on. It was dangerous outside. And it was necessary to find a shelter. Israel, for better or worse, has been a teva. Has it been perfect? No, it's not perfect. But for better or worse, it's been a teva. And all the people in the boat had to cooperate, because otherwise the teva couldn't make it. That's the story. And if this one would open the window here and that one would do that, oh, they would sink. But it doesn't matter to these people, because to them, you know, they'd rather be part of the flood. They're marching with those who want to destroy. Right? They want to destroy. And to them, they feel more comfortable with the forces of the flood. The people in the flood eventually got totally wiped out. They didn't see it that way. Right? They didn't see it that way. Noah wasn't out to conquer the world. Noah just wanted to save himself. Israel's not out to conquer the Middle East. Israel just wants to save itself. Okay? I mean, this is what's going on over here. And so we see the face of Amalek, to me, emerging in all this. First of all, the killers are Amalek. In other words, they practice Amalekitism. And second thing is, all the people cheering them, and, you know, the world is dividing very interestingly, as you see, between those who cheer and those who cheer Israel and those who cheer the Hamas. And the people who cheer the Hamas are actually cheering killers. In other words, they're saying it's fine what they did. So, in other words, they're siding with the Amalek side of things. And it's just striking to me that you see all these stories and, you know, let's put it this way, and nobody takes the Mussar Haskel from it. What else do you have in Parshas Noach? The United Nations. What do you call it? The Tower of Babel, the Migdal Babel. Okay? Where obviously God didn't like it. Because the nations, they say, Hovah Nivn Alonu Shem. They're doing it grandeur, glory, something like that. To tell you the truth, nobody knows exactly what happened over there. Because it doesn't say in the Chumash exactly what the sin is. It just said God looked down and said, if this goes on, it'll get out of hand. And therefore, let's confuse their languages. But it doesn't tell you what the sin is. But one thing comes out clear. The idea of a United Nations is looked down negatively in the book of Genesis. There's no question about that. And when we see that the United Nations is going to condemn Israel for bombing a hospital, which they didn't do, but they're not going to condemn anybody for attacking and condemning Hamas, and that also they're not good. That's something the United Nations won't do. So the guys that make the bubble is a bunch of baloney. Now, this is all subject to political pressure and, frankly, to anti-Semitism. But they have a way to stick it to the Jews. They will. If you know the history of the United Nations, they've always been concerned about everybody else except the Jews. That's a Messias. Go back to Moynihan's speech in 1975. Go back to 100 other occasions. When I was a little kid, the United Nations was still looked up to as a possibility. And I remember schools, day schools, used to have trips to New York if you're from out of town. And one of the places you would go and visit would be United Nations. I can't believe any day school today would want to visit the United Nations. When you see that cesspool, it's a mamash Migdal Babel. It's worse. Okay? It's worse. And one person, we're told in Chazal, who the Migdal Babel did not like was Abraham. In fact, the story of Abraham, according to Chazal, is, listen closely, according to Chazal, the story of Abraham is, he was not, obviously not Jewish, and he was over to Avodah Zarah, but when they made the Migdal Babel, he protested against it. They responded to him by saying, you have nothing to say because you're childless. Now that has nothing to do with a person's, what's the right word, opinion. You judge an opinion by its merits. You judge an argument by its merits. But they did what people do, like what kids do in school and things like that, which is, we don't have to listen to you, you're ugly. We don't have to listen to you, you have red hair. We don't have to listen to you, you're wearing funny shoes. You know, in other words, you take something that's not germane, but it works rhetorically and socially, because everybody laughs at the person, and therefore they don't listen to his opinion. So the Chazal say, that when Avram protested against the Migdal Babel, they say, you're a parrot. You know, say like a mule, don't have any kids, therefore your opinion doesn't count. Now here's the interesting part. What was the reaction of Abraham to this kind of dissing? In Chazal, they say that Avram Avinu completely dumped paganism and adopted monotheism. One says the age of 3, the other one says the age of 48. And the way you reconcile it is he started to have sphakas at the age of 3, but he only concluded and made a break with his past at the age of 48, which is extremely believable to me. When you grow up in a family, especially a loving family, and everybody goes to church on Sunday, you have all the other nice ceremonies and things like this, Baal, Ashera, whatever you can laugh about it, but if that's how the family gets its kicks, it becomes part of who you are. And you become a traditional Baal worshiper or whatever the idol was. As they say, Yeterach owned an idol shop. So it's not so easy to completely break off all your relations with everybody else. And you're never 100% sure, because remember, God never spoke to Abraham until he was 70. So to argue that there's, a single God and everything else is a lie, everything else out there is a lie, makes you look like a nut. Because you're saying everybody in this room is nuts. I'm the only normal one. Usually that's a sign that somebody's crazy. In the case of Avraham Avinu, it happened to be true. As you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. So first of all, that's no gaia to all these people wondering about the media. It's all lies. They're all full of it. We are right. They are wrong. You got to get that into your head. We're the ones that are right. And the other side doesn't hesitate to lie every chance they can, if they can score points with it. You know this is true because you can see it by how they argue in general. Whenever it's possible to spin something or lie about it, they will. If they knew for sure that what blew up the hospital in Gaza was their own rocket, if they knew it, would they ever admit it? Would they ever admit it? Okay? And that goes across the board. So once I know that you're committed to lying, to treating it like a game, a sports game in which the main thing is to gain points, no matter how you do it, why are you listening to anything they say at all? Why? Because there might be a little bit of truth in what they say. As Avigdor Miller used to say, you want to look in the toilet bowl to find something in there that, that's edible? Why are you doing that? That's what Rabbi Miller used to say. Why are you doing that? You understand? It's a sign that we Jews, from Jews also, have certain weaknesses. And that's who we are. You understand? And I'll say it again. Dafkin, these parshas, when we talk about people who stood up against the majority, Noach in his way, Avraham in his way, I mean, that's our role models. Not the Dor HaMabul and not the Dor HaFlogah. Everybody else is like, saying, maybe the Dor HaMabul's right. You would have been one of these people who said, how do you know Noach? Maybe the guy's crazy. You get it? I'm sure there are plenty of people that said this guy Noach is off the rocker. You know what I mean? Working for 120 years in a boat. Of course, if it was a type of yeshiva guy, it wouldn't surprise me if it took 120 years to build a boat. But still, the whole world isn't wrong. And he's saying, oh, no, you're wrong. Hishchus kol basar is dark all arts. No, he's not. You say that, but everybody else says it differently. So who's right? A million people or one person? You have to get used to the idea that being Jewish means you have to say the one person is right and a million people are wrong. I don't say you have to march up and down the street. Some people would say you do. I'm saying you march up and down the street. That depends on where you live and what your circumstances are, all the rest. But at least in your own Dalet Amos, your house should be a teva. And your house should be a safe zone for the Jewish narrative, for the Israeli narrative, and not for the other narratives. So now I sound like an old-fashioned mashgiach from years ago. Don't let a TV in your house because you're bringing in the HR and all the rest of it. This is a different. This is somewhat similar, and today it's impossible. That kind of argument to make is impossible because everybody in the world has a computer, whether they say it or not, of one sort or another. So in other words, that fight is over, and the Yetzirah, so the anti-Israel Yetzirah, is out there, and Jews are news junkies. It's just who we are. And so we're going to be fed all this kind of stuff. You have to train yourself, not to read those sites or not believe them if you do read them. And if you do, most of you are not equipped, have enough knowledge to refute the lies, even though you read it and you know the guys tell lies. But you say maybe this particular argument is not a lie, and it's not true. It is a lie, you see? And so I don't have the time to go through each and every lie that they say and try to show you how it's in there. You know, it's like saying I'm going to go through 10 podcasts to show you why Baal is wrong, another one to tell you why Asherah is wrong, another one to tell you why Kamosha is wrong. You know, I got a life. But learn from what we read in the Torah, what you read. You know, the Musar HaSkel, the lessons you're supposed to derive from all this. And Asher, you know, PM Dibra Shabim Minim Shekhar, that is who they are. That's how the culture always was. That's how the culture will always be. The first recorded, the first record historically of Klal Yisrael, I'm talking about archaeologically, it's one of the old pharaohs, Menephta, where he says, I wiped out all the Jews. You know he didn't wipe out all the Jews, but it doesn't surprise us because that's how they talk in Egypt. They did it 3,000 years ago. They talk like that today. Do you remember, those of you old enough, 20 years ago when they had the second Bush War in Iraq and the American army literally came to Baghdad, the tanks, and the spokesman for the Saddam Hussein regime called Baghdad Bob, he's saying it's a lie. There are no tanks here. The reporters could see the tanks behind the spokesman, but he said, oh, no, they're not here. Get it? That is who they are. Now, does Israel ever lie? Sometimes they do. They try not to, because eventually gets caught out. And if you have a democratic society, the press will jump on you. Sometimes politicians lie more than others. And we evaluate them. That they are. Bibi lies sometimes, but usually it's discovered. But guess what? He also tells the truth sometimes. You won't find this on the other side. It's just how it goes. They have a plan, and the plan is to make it that Israel doesn't completely invade the Gaza Strip, as I said the other day, and that they shall survive. And eventually they'll get their people out of the Israeli jails. And, you know, that's their main goal at the moment, the immediate goal. The long-term goal is to wipe out Israel. And propaganda is not, I mean, it's just they hire people, they appoint people for the propaganda stamp and just say, put out the baloney out there, Yom HaValayla, like Goebbels did. And people will believe, some people will believe you. The more you put out, the more people will believe you. You know, at a certain point, quantity becomes quality. Talk to anybody in Kiruv movement, Lahavdol. And they'll tell you, if you talk to two people, try to make them Shomer Shabbos, not a great chance you'll succeed. Talk to 100 people, maybe you'll get one. Talk to 1,000 people, maybe get 10. Talk to 10,000 people, you might get 1,000. You know what I mean? Or 100,000 people, you get a nice number. They put out so much, you know, stuff out there. So it obviously it's penetrated even to the ranks of Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. So, my take on it is not to do that way. Now, listen to this. If you hold that Avraham Avinu became frum at the age of 48, to use modern language, so what was it that, you know, what was the straw that broke the camel's back? The guy was having sfeikas about his family's religion, Terachs, from the age of 3, but he still went to church, as they say, and he still participated in all the rituals, even though he had other ideas floating around in his mind. And little by little, you know, he's ain't bira below bona, and all these, you know, arguments that favored this one God. But at the other time, he also believed that there are multiple gods at some level, until he finally was machlit in his mind to say, I'm leaving team B and joining team A, or whatever you want to call it. Clearly, it was his attempt to criticize the Torah bubble and the reaction that people had by dissing him and saying that he was childless and all the rest of it, which must have showed to him the falseness and the baloney, to use a nice word, of the entire civilization. And then he said, I guess, why am I wasting my time with these people? They're all full of it. The whole generation is full of it, from Nimrod on down, including my parents and including my siblings. That's how it goes. So the point is, by attacking him, they converted him, quote, to Judaism. They pushed him over the edge to completely abandon who he had been, and become Avram Ho'ivri, as the Chazal say, he was on the other side of the river. You all hold this way, I hold differently. I hope, as a result of all this dissing of Israel by all these Migdal Bavel people that we have around, because that's what you got, you have to look at the whole press, you know, whether it's the CNN or the New York Times or this, that, and the other, and certainly the European press, and certainly the non-European press, is a Migdal Bavel. You understand? And The truth is, they all talk the same language. And the best thing we do is, like God says, Novelis Fossum, confuse their language and make them all argue with each other. When we find that there are differences in the press, then it means some of them are pro-Israel. You get it? So Ramam is holding by the Migdal bubble over here. And I hope that some Jews, and this is happening among the rich and the not rich, that some Jews are starting to see the light and they're pulling their support for Harvard and University of Pennsylvania and all these other places. And maybe in the Congress and elsewhere, maybe this will push people, instead of being Avram ben Terachs, I'm talking about Jews now, instead of being Avram ben Terachs, maybe this will push them over the edge and they'll become Avram Ha'ivris. In that case, Ribbono Shel Olam works in funny ways and uses funny instruments to get people to do teshuvah. And I'm talking about basic tshuva in the sense of I want to be under the Anani HaKavod. I didn't say you have to be a Shomer Shabbos and all the rest of it. That would be nice, but you don't have to do that. But you have to be, you have to say, I don't want to be one of the Nechsholim Acharecha and the people, the stragglers who are outside the cloud. I want to be including myself in the cloud. But if I include myself in the cloud, then I'm not giving money to organizations that want to destroy everybody that's living in the cloud. Anyway, it seems to me that this is a lot of the messages that we're reading from the Chumash. Problem is, most people, I bet you, don't even do Shnayim Mikra Echad Targum, but they do Shnayim CNN, V'Echad New York Times, or Drudge Report, or I don't know what, you know. Maybe they should reverse those reverse those priorities. But I don't want to sound too much like a Mashkiach. So I hope this all be taken in the right way. Again, I want to thank Mishpachas Stefanski for sponsoring this. Because I think they know what I'm talking about.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.